The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Good morning, everyone. It's fantastic to hear the buzz of community. And I'm just wondering whether you caught some of those lyrics in that song. It was, hey, hey, we made it. We're at the end of our series. John 21 today. Well, we're nearly at the end of our series. And when I was thinking about this during the week, I was reminded of when I announced that we would be spending the whole year in the Gospel of John. And I wish I had a camera and took a picture of some of your faces. It's kind of like, the whole year in one book. Oh my goodness. Well, today, after today, we have spent 32 weeks. You remember this this bookmark we handed out, 32 weeks ago. We've looked at 21 chapters. Well, after today, we would have looked at 21 chapters. 879 verses. What an epic journey. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is our hope that you have enjoyed it. You've enjoyed the journey and that it's encouraged you and helped you to do this. Remember this right at the beginning of our year, our strategic focus, to love, pray and live like Jesus. So before we get started, we've got some great things planned this morning. But before we get started, I think it's really important that we pray. So I'd love you to join with me as we do that. Lord, it is so good to be together. And I want to commit these next few moments to you. Thanks for speaking us throughout this week, and thanks for the things that you've already spoken to us through this service. Please continue to move in our lives by your Spirit, through your Word, as we reflect on the journey that we've had over this year through the book of John. And Lord, I make no apologies for this because, Lord, I want to continue to pray for our children and pray for our children's ministry. I thank you so much for the men and for the women who invest in our children. Bless them as they partner with us, as we disciple them in the name of Jesus. Amen. On your seat, you would have noticed, you might be actually sitting on it right now, you would have noticed one of these cards. And so I'd love you to take a hold of that card for me right now. And I want to give you just a few moments to reflect on our year together in the book of John. It has been a year-long journey. And I would love you to answer the question, what has impacted you as we have journeyed through the Gospel of John this year? Now, there are pencils on the ends of the rows. If you don't have a pen, love you to grab a pencil on the right-hand edges of each of the rows. And I'd like you to take a few moments now just to jot a couple of things down. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, this is my first week here. That's okay. Just feel free to have a postcard and send it somewhere. But use it. It's a great resource, a great picture of all the different things that we have done throughout this year. Please take a look at the collage, have a look at the front of the card, and maybe they will prompt you, some of those images will prompt you at the things that we've looked at. So just take a few moments, and as you reflect, I want to give you a couple of things that really impacted me. I'm not sure whether you remember me preaching a message on the rock of condemnation. Now, remember the message? You who are without sin, you cast the first stone. And I remember a real impacting part of that message for me is simply when I dropped that rock of condemnation. We can't chuck rocks of condemnation. We just can't do it. And that's one thing that really, really impacted me. The other thing that really impacted me was watching you and then me joining you as we streamed forward. And remember, we had like a 44-gallon drum, and that was to symbolize a wine barrel. And my encouragement was to write down something, a tough issue, something that you were facing, that you were thinking, man, I need a miracle in this. And we all stream forward, we place these issues, we place these prayers in the barrel, and we simply ask Jesus to take them, turn the water into wine. I wonder what impacted you this year. I wonder what you remember. Now, this week we've asked three people just if they would be brave enough to share very quickly. And so the first person that we're going to come to this morning is Craig Vanderpeer. Now, everybody, this is Craig. Let's put our hands together for Craig. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I was really interested in John's Gospel because before the study, my mother was a big fan of John's Gospel. I think she was the number one fan. She used to tell us, if anybody asks you what they should read in the Bible, they should read John's Gospel. So I wanted to know why she said that, and I think that was answered on week one when we learnt that it was written so we will believe. And then near the end of it, I think one of the great things that I learnt was Caiaphas, where he said, better that one man die for all. And I think that was great because it just showed how much God is in control. And I think that's the big lesson for me was make sure that, you know, this God of heaven and earth who can make people say the things that he wants them to say, speak the truth, let him into our lives so that he can take control of our lives.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Craig. Thank you so much. Okay. Now, where is the beautiful Mandy Beaver? Is she? There she is. Thanks, Mandy.
One thing that impacted me was John 15 and 16. And it reminded me that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He doesn't dwell alongside us. He doesn't dwell around us. He dwells in us. And all we have to do is believe and trust. And then we can leave the work to the Holy Spirit when we pray to him for special things. So it removes anxiety. It removes fear. And it can give us a sense of release and power and freedom.
Awesome. Thank you, Mandy. Now, Duncan. Duncan. Everybody, this is Duncan Urquhart.
Well, I haven't been here for all of it, but when we first came in, the board was the first thing that struck my eye, and the board was fairly bare. There are a few things on it, and it's been wonderful and very interesting to see the board develop and the parts all fit together and entwine. And I think, in a way, this is symbolic of the journey that John and the other disciples were on, and in fact, the journey that we're on, that they were journeying with Jesus, and they were learning and listening and making mistakes. And as we heard last week, and I think sometimes we need to be reminded of this, hey, this guy John and these people, they had faults. Because often I think we think people in the Bible, we lift them up, we put them on a bit of a pedestal, we forget they're just people just like us. And so I think quite often that's encouraging. And the whole thing is encouraging, I think, because Jesus comes to us in just the same way. I mean, the book's all about Jesus, and that's the great thing. And Jesus, I love the way that when Jesus spoke to Mary, he said after the resurrection, he said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. And, you know, you might feel like a Peter sometimes, and Jesus includes all of us. So that's the wonderful thing about John's Gospel.
Thanks. Thank you, Duncan. Let's put our hands together for Duncan. Now, I would love to just go around and hear some more, but we can't do that. So I want to say special thanks to three guys that shared this morning. I'm wondering whether you might, maybe during halftime, at the end of our service, that you might incorporate as a part of your conversation this question, and maybe ask each other as a way of being able to share. I'd encourage you to share it with someone this week or today. So thank you. It's good. It's good to reflect. Now, last week we had Andrew Menzies here. And Andrew, out of chapter 20, encouraged us to fly again as we looked at the resurrection of Jesus. And the last verse, verse 30 in this chapter, is known as the purpose statement of the entire book, and Craig mentioned that this morning. And it formed our slogan for the year, which was simply written so you will believe. And if we could go to that verse, I want to just read that out. John 20, verse 30. It says this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And I guess as I read that and I look at the fact that there's, you know, a nice round number of 20 chapters, I feel like the book could have quite easily have finished right at that point. 20 chapters, beautiful number, feels like a great place to finish, but it doesn't. Because after we believe, friends, it's not done. We're not done. We are to do. From head to hands, belief into life. We have to follow Jesus, and that means kingdom work. So today's story, chapter 21, entitled Feed My Sheep, and there's the Feed My Sheep on our collage. You'll also notice lots of fish and a boat. And we're going to read the story in a minute and we can see how that relates. But this story takes place somewhere, scholars believe, somewhere between 14 and 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And some of them believe that chapter 21 actually indicates that maybe some of the disciples' faith or maybe the light of the disciples' faith might have started to flicker out. And that maybe some doubt had started to creep in. And the reason for this is because they made their way back to what they knew. They made their way back to an occupation of fishing. So that's one point of view. But then other scholars actually say that their belief was strong and they were simply waiting for their orders. And the reason for going back to fishing was because we all know that men don't like sitting around. And so they went back to work. And you know what? That makes sense to me, you know, because I can hear them saying, what should we do now? And then Peter, I love Peter, Peter pipes up and he says, I'm going fishing. I get that. Now, let's read. John chapter 21, verse 1, the miraculous catch of fish. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the other side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. I read that chunk of scripture and I immediately get a question. I wonder whether that's a similar question to what you might be asking, and that is, why did Jesus perform this miracle? Why did Jesus do this? Well, I want to suggest he does it for two very, very powerful reminders. And the first reason, I believe, is that this event actually takes them back to the start of their relationship with Jesus and their original commissioning. If you go to Luke 5, you'll read about Jesus doing a very, very similar thing. A miraculous catch of fish. And then what does he do? He calls them into ministry. He calls them to be fishers of men. And I want to suggest that this miracle would have been a powerful, powerful reminder to them of their original call. I wonder whether you remember your first encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that call? Friends, it is a very powerful thing to go back to that place, to go back to that place when you first encountered the Lord. And I don't know about you, but when I go there, it does something in my spirit. Something jumps. Something spiritual takes place. A really powerful reminder. So that's the first reason. The second reason for the miracle, I believe, is that he wanted to remind them and he wanted to give them a glimpse or a vision of what they will be doing in their futures. Because through him, they'll be doing things beyond their wildest dreams. They'll be doing miracles. They will see many, many people's lives impacted. They will see many fish come into the kingdom of God. And the reality is, friends, this morning, we are here because of those guys. Two very powerful reminders. Let's read on. Jesus reinstates Peter. Verse 15, he says, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said, 'you know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' And again Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' And then a third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.'" Jesus asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Three times. How many times did Peter deny him? Three times. Maybe there's something in that. But you know what? Jesus is laying it down here to Peter. He's putting it on the table. Do you love me more? Do you love me more than anything else in your world? The scripture says more than these. Well, do you love me more than yourself? Do you love me more than you love your friends or these men, these disciples? Or do you love me more than these things that you have or you own? Friends, this question, "Do you love me?" is foundational and is central, absolutely central and an important question of Christianity. Do you love Jesus more than dot, dot, dot? Such an important question. And if you answer that question with that three-letter word, yes, then you will do something. You will do something. You will care for people. You will feed them. You will be their pastor. If you love Jesus, we'll see it. We'll see it very practically, and we'll see it done very, very faithfully. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." And then verse 18, he goes on and he says, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me. Follow me." Now let's hang on a minute. Let's recap a little bit. Loving you or loving Jesus? Yep, tick. No worries. That sounds good. Serving you, building the kingdom of God, that sounds a little bit more difficult, but yep, tick. I think I can do that. I'm still in. And then we read verse 18 and verse 19, and it talks about self-sacrifice. It talks about trials. It talks about that horrible D word, death. Okay, who's in now? Who's in now? I didn't see that on the JD. It's interesting if you probably remember, you probably know what eventually happened to Peter. Does anyone know what happened to Peter? Somebody, he was crucified. Crucified upside down. So Jesus, Peter was martyred and he was crucified upside down because he felt that he saw himself as unworthy to be crucified in the same way, in the same manner as Jesus Christ. So he was crucified upside down. Full on. Full on. And church, this is really what it boils down to. What it boils down to this morning. Are you prepared to follow me, to follow Jesus, regardless of the cost? What was Peter's response to this? Verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And this was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" And when Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Oh, I love Peter. I relate so well to this guy. You know, here's this guy. Peter's the kind of guy that actually gets dressed to go for a swim. He's also the kind of guy that maybe this verse indicates that he's still a little bit upset with the fact that the beloved disciple beat him in the running race that Andrew mentioned last week. Maybe he's still a little bit unhappy about that. But it's almost like Peter says here, if that's what's going to happen to me, then what about him? What about the teacher's pet? What about the beloved disciple? And it's funny, as I was kind of reading that and thinking about that, my boys do that all the time. If you've got children, what about him? You know, what about... And if I have to be honest with myself, I still do that. What about him? I compare myself. And then in verse 22, it says, Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." And because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die, But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, that what is that to you? Jesus essentially says to Peter here, don't worry about other people's situations, or don't worry about other people's lots. Don't compare. This is a fruitless exercise. This is a fruitless exercise that is only going to cost you and only going to steal away your joy and get in the way of what I've called you to do. Peter, just follow me. Follow me. And then in verse 24 it says this. This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. And Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have the room for the books that would be written. I want to land this with a question that I ask most weeks. And that question is, so what? So what? What is our response this morning? How are we to respond to what we've just heard in chapter 21? Well, friends, in this chapter, Jesus says, this is how it's going to get done. This is how I'm going to build my church. I'm going to do it through simple men and women. I'm going to do it through shepherds, pastors, disciples who love me, who humbly do things for others. And we're reminded in those scriptures, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. And they do that regardless of the cost. Regardless of the cost. So here's where it's at. Do you love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Is it a deep, abiding, attached to the vine love of Jesus? Because if you really love him, that love manifests itself in service for the kingdom of God. And this is the tough bit, no matter what the cost. I'd love you to please close your eyes and just bow your heads. I just want us to spend a few moments now just reflecting on today's message, and I want to continue to ask a couple more questions. As we wrap up our year in the Gospel of John, I'm wondering, are you really committed to helping people find and follow Christ? Helping people find and follow Jesus? Are you really committed to that? In a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something that you might think, whoa, that's a bit full on. But I'm going to ask you to stand. And the reason why I'm going to ask you to stand is so that you get an opportunity to demonstrate that commitment, to demonstrate your commitment to helping people find and follow Christ. And then what I want to do is I want to finish by praying for everyone in the room. I want to pray for everybody in this room who has been called to kingdom work, who's been called to shepherd, to pastor, to serve other people, to help people find and follow Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to do that in a moment. But maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, I can't be a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I can't be a shepherd. I can't preach. I can't teach. Well, let me say this. Can you cook? might be a bit of a weird question. Can you cook? Can you feed people? Can you have people over for dinner? Can you do barbecues? And are you open to sharing your lives with others and allowing the Spirit to lead your conversations, maybe over a meal? A simple meal. You might be sitting there thinking, well, that's a long bow. Well, right through this Gospel of John, we've seen Jesus turn water into wine. We've seen him attending parties and weddings. And food has been central to a lot of his interaction with his disciples. And this chapter is no different. Because in this chapter we see Jesus, we see him commissioning his disciples. The Great Commission. We focus so much on Matthew 28, but this is the Great Commission right here. John 21. And he commissions his disciples, and where does he do it? Over a meal. He does it over a barbecue. I love that. One of the most important board meetings in history. And it's round a campfire with fish burgers for breakfast. I don't think, friends, we don't have to overcomplicate this thing. If you love Jesus and you're willing to serve him no matter the cost, I'm wondering right now whether you would stand right now, stand as a way of demonstrating that commitment so I can pray and commission us with a prayer. So I'd love you to stand. If that's you, you love Jesus, you're willing to serve him no matter the cost, I want to pray this prayer over each and every one of us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Father God, as disciples of Jesus, we accept our commission from you to invest our lives into the lives of others. Give us, your harvest workers, the power, the wisdom, and the courage to boldly live the kingdom life in all the places of your choosing. May Jesus be seen in our lives, and may we always and everywhere model the life of Christ with authenticity and with great passion. Give us eyes to see the path of service you desire and ears to hear the cry of our world's needs that you have equipped us to meet. And Father, as Jesus modeled for us what it means to be a servant leader by washing the feet of his disciples, may we exhibit a servant attitude in all that we do. May you be our Lord, our light, and guardian in the work that you call us to. Grant us perseverance when tired, and I pray that we would not grow weary in doing good. I commission each and every one of us into your kingdom work. Help us as we help people find and follow you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God, we made it. We made it.